We've just begun a series from the book of Exodus, but I'm not going to preach on that today. I'll join that series in later chapters, but Pastor Joel wanted to lead us through the first three chapters, so when it came my turn to preach this week, I had to look elsewhere. I'm trying to practice greater awareness of how God is at work around me, so when this section of Isaiah 30 came to my attention a couple of different ways, and when I found some interesting connections, it felt like what God was putting in front of me to share today. So we will read part of Isaiah 30, verses 15 through 21, which is on page 1106 in your Bibles if you'd like to follow there, and it will also be on the screen. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. You said, "No, we will flee on horses." Therefore, you will flee. You said, "We will ride off on swift horses." Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one, at the threat of 5. You will all flee away till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. People of Zion, who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Last week here, we had the wonderful pleasure of hearing the profession of faith of Annabelle DeVries. A couple weeks earlier, the elders had heard her story and were able to ask questions of her about her faith journey. These opportunities for us to hear about how God is at work in the lives of our young people are a highlight of elder meetings. Classical exams are similar. People who have completed a rigorous course of study and have been called to serve a church or other work of ordained ministry are asked about their faith and about what they have learned. Just over a week ago at the meeting of Classis Grand Rapids East, we heard the classical exam of Sarah Vermeeris, who's been called to serve as Assistant Director of Discipleship at Calvin University. She shared a wonderful testimony and she answered questions brilliantly. When she spoke about the challenges of making vocational decisions, she mentioned Isaiah 30. Where it says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." I didn't remember that verse, and I found it intriguing and somehow reassuring, so I wrote it down. The next day, I started reading another book from the long list of books I'm reading for my course in spiritual direction. The epigraph of this book, Into the Silent Land by Martin Laird, had two quotes, one from Agamemnon, and the other was this: "By waiting and calm, you shall be saved. In quiet and in trust, your strength lies." And that was from Isaiah 30, verse 15. It caught my eye because it was also from Isaiah 30. And then, as I read the introduction to Laird's book on contemplation, it mentioned the important practices of stillness and of being aware, of paying attention to the things God is speaking into your life. So I paid attention. I looked a bit further into Isaiah 30, which I hadn't really paid much attention to before, and I was amazed at these wonderful nuggets that felt so fitting for me and maybe for all of us. And I marveled at how the Bible holds so many treasures that it may take our whole lifetime and beyond to discover them all. Even verses that have been familiar, like Psalm 121, which Neil referred to, they take on new levels of meaning as we enter different seasons of our lives. So now let's take a look together at this part of God's word to us. Isaiah 30 and 31 are oracles that center on the folly of Israel and Judah, who are attempting to make an alliance with Egypt to ward off the threat from the strong Assyrian Empire. Egypt! They wanted to reach out to Egypt, their former oppressor. Remember what we just learned in Exodus? Now Egypt is waning as a world power and could be of no real assistance to them, and why would they turn to Egypt anyway? Last week, Pastor Joel suggested that we pay attention to the ironies of Scripture, and that seems like a true irony to me. So the prophet Isaiah speaks to the people of Israel and Judah as if they are obstinate children who don't know what's best for them. In their desire to save themselves, they're forming plans, but they are not God's plans. The people even told Isaiah to stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. My Hebrew professor from seminary, Michael Williams, points out that this title for God, the Holy One of Israel, is used in Isaiah 26 times, and only 6 times in the rest of the Bible. Williams says that this key phrase shows Isaiah's deep concern that God's people respond to this holy and awesome God with reverent obedience so that they may enjoy a rich and satisfying life. And in Isaiah 30, that title is used twice, once in the earlier section and then again at the beginning of this passage we're looking at today. This is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says, "In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength." These important words are translated a variety of ways in different versions of the Bible, including the way I read it in that book from Martin Laird. From the original Hebrew, the word for repentance can be translated return, go back to what you believe. Maybe you've heard before that repent suggests a turning around, to turn away from your old ways and turn to the Lord. So God is calling his people to return to him. That word translated as salvation could also mean deliverance, being rescued, saved. And here may be a connection to that Exodus series. All these centuries later, the Lord is still determined to deliver his people. Quietness may be understood as peace, calm, tranquility, rest. It's a different word from the rest in the first line, but its meaning is very similar. And every translation that I read was pretty consistent in concluding with your strength. So a compilation of the various translations, ways to translate verse 19, could read something like this. If you return and wait calmly, you will be delivered. In peace and trust lies your strength. In peace and trust lies your strength. Yet verse 15 concludes, but you would have none of it. Instead, the people want to run. So the prophet warns them they will be pursued until they end up standing alone like a banner on a hill as a warning to others not to count on military strength. Despite the warnings of prophets like Isaiah, that calamity did come to the people of Israel and Judah. They were pursued. They were taken captive. They were sent into exile. But that is not the end of the story. Brevard Childs, one of the leading biblical scholars of the last century, says that verse 15, the beginning of our section here, says, "The heart of Isaiah's message of trust in God through a quiet, unshakable faith." And then what follows the harsh judgment of verses 15 to 17 is hardly expected, because in verse 18 is a prophetic reassurance that God waits to be gracious and to show mercy, for he is a God of justice. This is God's promise of redemption to those who repent by turning to him, Childs writes. And later he says, "God, who has afflicted his people, now turns from judgment to forgiveness. Blindness gives way to sight, hardening to obedience. Our God remembers his covenant promises and will show kindness to the people who wait for him. To the people in ancient times who called out for help, God was gracious. Throughout the generations, when people cry for mercy, God will answer. And if we listen, we may hear the voice of the Lord saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" Listening for the voice of the Lord is part of my own learning these days. I'm about halfway through a year of studying, reading, and practicing for this certificate program in spiritual direction. And much of it is about contemplation, thus that book by Martin Laird, who says we are built to commune with God. If I believe that, if we all believe that Christ lives in us by his Spirit, if we believe that in God we live and move and have our being, then I hope we all can learn to notice God's presence, to become aware of the ways that God is speaking to us, within us, around us. And maybe we need to pay attention to our own waywardness and repent of our sinfulness. And when we do that, God longs to be gracious and compassionate and keeps calling to us to return to him, to put our trust in him. God is with us in all the beautiful and all the chaotic moments of our lives. As we pay attention, as we listen, we may also find direction for how to walk through each day. Many of us, maybe all of us, have choices and decisions to make, daily decisions, big picture decisions. As individuals and as a church, when we wait on the Lord, we can be assured that God will help us. Some of you may be thinking about vocation. Where is God calling you to work and serve? Remember Sarah Vermeeris, who talked about making vocational decisions as she responded to God's calling her into ministry. This verse about the voice saying, "This is the way, walk in it," helped her to realize that she didn't have to worry so much about the specific job choice as long as she paid attention to walking with God in whatever vocational path she took. We recently had a family gathering with a second cousin from the Netherlands, and my dad reflected on how if their grandparents had not married, none of us, there were 30 of us, would be together for this meal. What an interesting thought, right? Would that mean that if those people had not married, they weren't following in God's way? If they had chosen to stay single or to marry someone else? That's not it at all. You may choose this direction or that, one person or another as your faithful covenant partner, when God is your companion along the way and you put your trust in him. These nuggets in Isaiah 30 of returning to God and waiting for him could refer to anyone's journey of faith. The God who created us is forever faithful, full of compassion, waiting for us. In a way, this chapter and Isaiah's whole prophecy encapsulates the whole biblical story of creation, fall, redemption, the beautiful story about the God who made us and loves us and longs to be gracious, even to rebellious children. God sent prophets and finally the great teacher who was seen by his disciples, the teacher who, according to Michael Williams, is also the obedient servant of Isaiah, who will experience judgment so that the disobedient rebels could be delivered from judgment. This is a story about walking a way of faith. People in the early church were sometimes called people of the way of Christ, the teacher who shows the way to the Father, the way of love, sometimes the way of suffering, because Jesus, in whom our sin was nailed to the cross to deliver us and bring us salvation, Jesus also invites us to take up our cross and follow him along the way of suffering. So we hear the Lord saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." And I hope we do. Because whatever way we walk, whatever path we choose, if we are listening to the voice of God within and before and behind and under, we are going to be okay. Not always fine, because even those who follow Jesus walk that path of suffering, but we will be okay because God is with us, even in the messy chaos, even in the grief and loneliness, even in the troubled relationships, even in all the challenging moments. And God gives us hope. We opened our worship with the song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," and some verses from Lamentations 3, including these: "The Lord is good to those who hope in him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." That sounds a lot like Isaiah 30, doesn't it? And it sounds really like the whole biblical story, which looks something like this. God loves us. We rebel against God and make a mess of things. God keeps calling us to return to him. We repent. We return. And then we lose our way again. God keeps loving us and showing compassion. We look for help in other places. God says, "Be still. I am God." Sometimes we hear God's voice and calm down. And God calls us to be quiet and wait for him, for he will send deliverance and salvation. And sometimes we respond just as we should. We wait upon the Lord, and he renews our strength. And God sends his own Son to deliver us. The Holy One of Israel invites us to return. Dear friends, we are in a church, in a denomination, in a country, in a world where there is much trouble, affliction, and even rebellion against God's ways. We cannot address it all. What we can do is rest and be silent, and pay attention to what God is doing around us and within us. We can repent and return and put our trust in the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Then whichever way we go, to the right or to the left, we may hear the voice of the Lord assuring us, "This is the way. Walk in it." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we are too often your rebellious children. be gracious to us. Rise up and show us compassion, for you are a God of justice. Teach us to walk in your way, for you promise, blessed are all who wait for you. Amen.